God is good. All the time. I always start my sermons with that. If you've got your outlines, you've got to fill things in. You've got to work hard when I preach. You've got to fill in the blanks. And I'll ask John to make sure that he asks you, did you... No, I wouldn't do that. Ephesians chapter 2, reading verses 1 to 10. We're only going to focus really on 8 and 9, but let's read this whole passage. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Little Johnny and his family were having Sunday dinner at Grandma's. Everyone was seated around the table and the food was being served. When little Johnny, received his plate, he started eating right away. "Johnny, please wait until we say our prayer," his mother replied. "I don't have to," the boy replied. "Of course you do," his mother insisted. "We always say a prayer before we're eating at our house." "That's our house," Johnny explained. "But this is Grandma's house, and she knows how to cook." In this beautiful book of Ephesians, Paul speaks of the riches of God's grace. In chapter 1, the unfathomable riches of Christ, and the riches of his glory in chapter 2 and 3. And in this book, the word riches is used 5 times, grace 12 times, glory 8 times, fullness or filled up or fills 6 times, and the key phrase in Christ or in him 15 times in this book. This is a wonderful book. This morning I'm going to focus on these two verses, 8 and 9, centered around grace in chapter 2. And next week, Pastor John's going to be looking at chapter 1. Everything about the Australian life teaches us that you get what you work for in life. If you work hard, you usually get rewarded. And God offers us something that we don't have to work for. As a matter of fact, we can't earn it. We can't work for it. We don't deserve it. It's a free gift from God. And the Bible clearly teaches us that we are only saved by God's grace. God blesses us by his grace. God teaches us by his grace. God uses us by his grace. And God takes us to heaven by his grace. See, everything that is good, dear friends, comes from God. Every perfect gift comes from the Father. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, the Bible says, "But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." living by grace. What does that mean in living our life today by grace? If I always asked you, what is grace? I wonder what you'd say. Most of you would probably say, well, it's God's gift to me. I don't have to work my way to heaven. I get there by God's grace. Well, many people have the head knowledge of grace, but they don't have a heart knowledge of grace. Many people still think they have to do certain things to please God, or otherwise he'll be displeased with them. If I commit a sin, then God's going to be very angry for me. And I've heard many times over the years I've been a minister that they think they've got ill because they've done something wrong with, because God's made them what they are. He'll strike me down if I get with some illness, if I do something wrong. He will get even with me. If this is the case, you haven't understood God's grace. And this is what I want to share with you this morning. There are many different definitions of grace. It is God's unmerited favor to us. That's probably one of the most common ones. It's grace is God's love in action. Grace is when God gives me what I need, not what I deserve. Grace is anything that I desperately need, that I don't deserve, that I could never repay. And God gives it to me anyway. Now, I think there's a bit of a difference between grace and mercy. Mercy is when God doesn't give you what you deserve. You do something wrong and you don't have to pay for your wrongdoing. That's mercy. But grace is God giving you something that you don't deserve. That's what grace is. So if you've got your outlines, you've got to write this in. If you've got a pen or a biro, if you haven't, you've got to have a good memory. Number one, grace is God giving me a free gift. Grace is God giving me a free gift. As unbelievers, we were spiritually dead in our sin, as those early passages talks about. But God gave us a new life in Christ. Once we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we started a new spiritual life because of the grace of God. See, dear friends, people, you and I, should have been wiped off the face of the earth many times because we've failed our God many times. We've rebelled against him. Yet God is full of mercy and love and kindness, and he offers to each of us this free gift of grace. And dear friends, it's a total gift of God. If you were to ask, say, 10 or 15 people down the main street of Lismore on a busy day, so how do you get to heaven? You would probably get lots of different answers. Well, if I work hard and do the right thing, I'll get to heaven. If I live a good life, I'll get to heaven. If I serve the community in many different ways and live the right sort of life that I should live, I'll get to heaven. Interesting, around 60% of the people of New South Wales in 2016 census said they were Christians. Wow, 40% of New South Wales go to church on Sunday. Don't think that might be possible. So being a professing Christian is not the same as being a believing Christian. And the Bible clearly teaches us that nowhere here on earth is good enough to get to heaven. No matter what you try to do, we can be the best living person here on earth, but we will still fall short of God's requirements. As Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible says we need a gift from God to get to heaven. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't save enough flyby points to get it. Only way to heaven is by receiving God's gift of grace. Dear friends, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, I love this, one writer puts it. He said, we've been taken out of the great graveyard of sin and placed into the throne room of glory. That's what Christ has done. That's what God's done for us when we accept Christ. That's his grace. We've lifted out of the great graveyard of sin and placed into the throne room of glory. Romans 11:6, the Bible says, "And if by grace, then it is no longer by works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace." This verse tells us that God's free gift is to us all. Dear friends, God's purpose in our redemption is not just to rescue us from hell, which is very important, but that we might glorify God and His grace, because without Him, we're nothing. It's His free gift to us. And dear friends, there's a difference between Christianity and every other religion. Every other religion is dues. It's His, you know, you have to earn your way to God. Every religion has a different list of dues. You've got to do this, and you do this, and you do that, and you'll get to God. They all think that if they do all these dues, they'll get to heaven. But the Bible says the exact opposite of that. The Bible says the only way to heaven is by a personal relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. And through Him you have all your sins forgiven. He paid the price, as we sang this morning, He paid the price for our sin on the cross. Therefore you get to heaven by what Jesus has done, not by what you and I have done. And Jesus died and He paid the full price. As He cried out on the cross, "It is finished." He completed all the sin that was placed upon Him. He paid for it in full. So if you could summarize Christianity in one word, it would be done. Do's versus done. The story is told of a man who came eagerly to hear an evangelist at a revival meeting, but he arrived a little bit late, and the workmen had started to pull down the tent. Frantic at missing the evangelist, he asked a workman who happened to be a Christian, "What can I do to be saved?" The Christian workman sort of answered in a different sort of way, "You can't do anything, it's too late." Horrified, the man said, "What do you mean?" The workman said, "The work has already been accomplished. All you've got to do is believe." Dear friends, Jesus has done it all. Now it's a free gift for you from God. All of us have to accept the gift. Sadly, not many people do. Secondly, write this down on your outline. Grace is received through faith. Grace is received through faith. If I go to church, I'll get to heaven. Or if I go to church, I'll get God's grace. If I live a good life, I'll get God's grace. Sorry. Grace is only received through faith. Look at Ephesians 2:8-9. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one could boast." Notice, even the faith to believe is given to us by God. Part of His grace. Well, when you think about it, wouldn't heaven be a terrible place if we got there by our works? Could you imagine us? "Oh, I've led 462 people to the Lord. How many did you leave? Oh, I've done this and this and this and this and this." It would be awful. We only get there by God's grace. Romans 4:16 says, "Therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace." Dear friends, salvation is not based on our performance. It's based on God's promise. It's not based on my merit. It's based on God's mercy. It's not based on my goodness, it's based on God's grace. See, dear friends, God has an eternal purpose here for us to fulfill. In other words, He will keep us for all of eternity if we trust in the Lord Jesus. No one or anything can take away the salvation God has given us if we continue in the faith. As one writer says, "If we are not saved by our good works, then we cannot be lost by our bad works. We need to remind ourselves time and time again that our salvation is God's free gift to us. Remember, salvation is a gift, not a reward. The Bible has many stories of God's grace, but I just, for a moment, what about the Good Samaritan? He's a good example. The Samaritan saw a beaten up Jew on the side of the road and showed him grace. Now the Jews and Samaritans didn't talk to each other. They hated each other. But the Samaritan saw a man in desperate need and he reached out and touched him and helped him and even paid for his accommodation and his medical fees. He did all of that and he was a Samaritan. Another one was a Jew. And they hated each other and here he reached out. That's grace. Now there's no way in the world that the Samaritan could ever repay the Jew for what he, the Jew could never repay the Samaritan. Never could it. But that's grace in action, isn't it? There's no way that you and I could ever repay God for what he has done. Because Christ has done it all for us. That's God's grace received by faith. Thirdly, write this down. Grace is available to everyone. This gift is available to everyone. God doesn't play any favorites. Doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what sins you've committed. God loves you unconditionally. And God has his grace available to you. Romans 4:16, the second part of that verse I read earlier. I'll read the first part again. Therefore, the promise comes by faith so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all of Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. The people who lived under the law were the Jews, the nation Israel in the Old Testament. But this verse says God's grace is available to everybody, not just the Jews under the law of Moses. It's available for everyone by faith. Romans 10:13, the Bible says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I want you to circle, if you've got your pen, circle that word, everyone. What does that everyone mean? Everyone's good looking? Calls on the name of the Lord will be saved? Everyone who's got a big bank account and calls on the name of the Lord will be saved? Everyone who lives a good life and calls on the name will be saved? No, it didn't say that. It says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Grace, dear friends, is the heart of Christianity. It's the heart of following Christ as a believer. Fourthly, write this down. Grace comes through Jesus Christ. That's the only place it's available. Grace comes through Jesus Christ. Bible says in Acts 15:11, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved just as they are. Why through Christ? Because he's the only one who paid for it. No one else volunteered to pay for your sin and mine. No one else was worthy to pay for our sins. Grace is free, dear friends. But listen, grace is not cheap. Because Jesus Christ had to give his life on the cross of Calvary to pay for our sin in full. It's not cheap grace. That's how expensive your ticket to heaven is. That's how expensive paying the penalty of all our sins was. Sins that we deserve to pay for, but have been paid for by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. See, when you receive a gift from someone, they've had to pay for it. The gift of salvation, forgiveness, heaven, eternal life is free, but someone had to pay for it. And that person is Jesus Christ, God's Son. Look at Romans 5, verse 15. The Bible says, but the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? See, dear friends, the cross of God, on the cross, God transferred all of our sin onto Jesus Christ. Just an illustration. This is us. This is you. This is me. And in this book is every sin and deed that we've done, every wrong thought is all in this book. That's how we look to God. He saw us in a mess. But on the cross, God transferred all of that onto His Son, Jesus Christ. He took all of our sin, paid for it in full. And notice something? Nothing is here. Everything's been paid for in full. Now God sees us through Christ. He sees Christ and not our imperfections. All of our wrongs, all of our rebellions, all of our mistakes have been erased by Jesus Christ's death on the cross. And when you accept Jesus as your Savior, God sees only Christ in you and in me. Now that's the way that God looks at us 24 hours a day. He looks at us through Christ. And God's grace in Christ covers us. And when you and I do wrong, we should be saying, Father, I'm sorry for letting you down. I know that you have forgiven me in your grace. I know Christ has paid for my sin. But Father, help me through the power of the Holy Spirit to get rid of this sin that so easily entangles me all the time. I say, Lord, I will never do it again, but I've done it again, Lord. And I know you've forgiven me, but help me to deal with it. Because we want that fellowship with God to be close and near. See, dear friends, we have all that we need to live as God wants us to live. Look at 2 Peter 1:3. The Bible says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. So, dear friends, the only way to know God's grace is to receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior and Lord. And, dear friends, God loves you. He loves you as much today as He's always loved you. And when you do something wrong, He loves you just the same. He doesn't stop loving you. Remember, His love is not based on performance. It's based on His promise. Finally. It's always good when a minister says finally, isn't it? Grace is extended for eternity. Grace is extended for eternity. Romans 6:23 says, For the wages of sin is death. Dear friends, that's not very good, is it? But the verse doesn't stop there. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Circle that word, eternal. See, God's grace never stops. He says, I'm going to withdraw my grace. I've had enough of those fiddlers down there. They're always doing the wrong thing. God's grace never ceases. It's eternal. And when you and I put our faith in Jesus Christ, we know that we are safe forever. For eternity. What's heaven going to be like? I don't know about you, but I'm getting closer to it every day. Silly thing to say, because so are you. No matter what age we are, is it? It's going to be a wonderful place where we'll meet our Lord face to face and experience Him forever. It's a place where there's no hurt, no criticism, no comparisons, no arguments, no pain, no gossip. Goodness gracious me, it's a good place, isn't it? That's wonderful news, dear friends, but there's a catch. There's always a catch. The catch is that you have to accept the gift of salvation. You have to accept the gift of God's grace in your life. It's just like any other gift. It can have your name on it, but unless you accept it, it means absolutely nothing to you. You'll gain no benefits from it. But when you accept God's grace, then you've received all the benefits. Isaiah 30 verse 18 says, Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. Dear friends, church membership, baptism, confirmation, giving to charity, none of these have the power to give us the gift of salvation. All we need to do is to exercise the faith which God has given to us and receive his free gift. And dear friends, he's waiting for you to accept his gift. He's not mad at you. He loves you. You may feel like a failure because you've done something wrong, or you haven't done something you should have done, and you promised God you would never do it again, and you've done it again. But God says, I love you. You're not a failure. Here is my gift of salvation. Please accept it. Please ask my son into your life. Then you'll experience my grace forever and ever and ever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, your wonderful grace. Sometimes, Lord, we look at each other and we look at someone and say, oh, I'm not as bad as they are. I've done a lot more things for God than they have. Lord, you're not even interested in that. You're only interested in what we've done with your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to realize that your grace is a free gift to us. It cost your Son his life on the cross. But he paid for our sin in full. And now we experience your grace forever and ever and ever. What a wonderful God you are, Lord. You love us just as much on our good days as our bad days. You love us unconditionally. You love us because you look through Christ and see us. Oh, Lord, I pray that each and every one of us might know where we belong with you. Are we sitting on the fence? Or are we saying, Lord, I want to follow you. I invite you, Jesus, into my heart. Bless all these dear people, Lord. May they just rest in you, knowing that you've done it all for each one of us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.